Thank you, Mark. Before we get to the message, I have the great pleasure of introducing to you Pastor Doug Langford from Edgewood Free Methodist Church, the former owners of this place. Give him a big hand. And he's here to just share with you for a moment about how we went through all this.
It's a joy to be here, and thank you for your warm greeting. And I think of Shema and of what the Lord's going to do through you in the years to come, I think of Philippians 1:3, where Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you." And that's exactly how I think of this congregation. I thank the Lord as I think of you. Very briefly, this story has gone on for many years. I was talking to Randy Katz this morning, and he was telling me that, you know, maybe 25 years ago, this whole idea, this vision of Shema Israel coming here was born. I didn't really come into that until around 6 years ago or so. We had a thought that we were moving to the Southeast YMCA in Pittsford. We had just renovated this space, which you have in here. And I sat in that, that used to be a library, by the way. So I sat in that library back there. I don't know, now it's a tech room. Well done, way to go. And in that library, I sat there and I said, "Lord, I just wouldn't know what we would do with this place, because here we are, and we've just finished all of this renovation, and now it looks like we may move someday. I wouldn't know what to do." And the Lord just gave you ever sense the Lord's whisper to your heart? It was just a whisper, and it was just, "Call Rabbi Jim." Now, I knew of Rabbi Jim. I had never met Rabbi, but I knew of him through Randy Katz. And so I just said, "Well, I don't even have his number, but I'll find it." So I found it. We talked. And here we are these 6 years or so later. And I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, I want to thank you for going on this adventure of faith with us. It's not an exaggeration to say that we have been in this as congregations together, truly. And neither congregation could have done this without the other. Even with God's direction, we couldn't have done our move without you, and you couldn't have done your move without us. And so I just want to thank you for your faithfulness, and I just want to say, way to go! You did it. You arrived. So thank the Lord for that. It's a weird time in COVID, because I say this to my congregation all the time: what we see now is not what we're going to see. Right? So we have to have eyes of faith to say, what's this going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? So you just got to keep that in mind. God knows. He knows. But I also want you to know, we will rejoice with you every single time anybody comes to know the Savior, anytime any person comes to know Yeshua. And I just say, whether that's Jew, I hope it's many who are Jewish. And, you know, a few Gentiles in there as well is okay. That's great. Whoever the Lord brings, we're just going to rejoice. We're going to celebrate every time somebody follows the Messiah. I'm also thankful, finally, for the dedication of your Rabbi Jim. I'm thankful for the dedication of his family, who spoke before, which is incredible, and the whole leadership team here. This journey, I want you to know, just you may not have a full sense of this, it takes a toll. It takes a toll physically, mentally, spiritually. It just does. Jim and I look older than we did a couple years ago, okay? I'm just going to tell you, we don't look as good as we did. We're trying, but we just don't. And so, in seriousness, I really hope and pray that you will lock arms and support Rabbi and the leadership team in fresh and new ways in the years to come. Because he's a courageous leader. He is a courageous leader, and he has led this wonderful congregation to this place in a step of faith. The next leg of the journey is before us, and I just want to tell you, it's better than the last leg of the journey, okay? God has wonderful things to come. The best is yet to come, and I think we grasp that by faith. We believe it. We pray it in. We know that it's not because we're anything or anybody. We know it's because God has a plan, and we just want to get on board with what the Lord has and see Yeshua's name raised and lifted up. Thanks again. Thank you for letting me come here, and I love you guys, and I'm so thankful for your commitment.
Let's just take a minute and pray. Okay, I just personally don't think we're done together.
No.
I think the Lord has more for the two congregations together somehow. We've formed this bond between Pastor Doug and I, and then, you know, the rest of the leadership has such esteem for each other. So let's just pray for whatever God has for that. So, Father, we just thank you that we can be gathered together today with Pastor Doug here. And thank you, Father. He thanked you for my courage, but I thank you, Father, for his ability to hear from you and hear that whisper. And as he described it, I'm not sure it got across, but it was so out of the normal. It was so unexpected. It was so much, how can this be what you're saying, God, when we just finished this big project? And yet he obeyed. And so I thank you for his ability to hear and obey. And I pray, Father, for whatever you have for us together in the future, whatever that might be between the two congregations, that you would bring that about in Yeshua's name. Amen.
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 Let's see. I got to do. So let's just pray for the message. So, Father, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for the song that Ethel chose to end with, to be thou our vision, Lord. And we're going to be talking about vision, even as Pastor Doug said, there's another leg to the journey, and it's going to be better, and we need your direction for it. We need your wisdom. We need your direction. We need you to be the cloud and the fire leading us on to that new place. So we just commit this time to you to be looking toward that, and we ask for you to anoint our ears, our eyes, our minds, and our hearts for receiving your word in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've got another little Rabbi Irving story here, because Rabbi Irving was knocking on my door and saying, yeah, you need to tell another Rabbi Irving story. And actually, it came from Ethel. So thank you, Ethel. So on her way out of the sanctuary, an embarrassed Mrs. Rothman said to Rabbi Irving, I hope you didn't take it personally, Rabbi, when my husband Morty walked out during your sermon. I did find it rather disconcerting, said Rabbi Irving. Mrs. Rothman said, it's not a reflection on you, Rabbi. Morty has been walking in his sleep ever since he was a child. So the message today is in preparation for 2021, and especially for our New Year's Eve praise, prayer, and progress event, when we're going to be declaring what God is showing us to do in 2021. So I want to start by expanding on the analogy that you've heard from me of our congregation being like in a boat. And I've spoken about this frequently, and our boat has been in the midst of a worldwide tsunami. It's like all sorts of waves coming at us. The pandemic, the quarantines, the demands to defund the police, rioting and looting, fraud, false accusations, deceptions, cover-ups, media censorship, just so much coming at us right now. But the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, has kept our boat, this congregation, from being swamped, from being thrown over by those waves, or even from being redirected, stopped, or even slowed down by those waves. And an example of that not slowing down relates to Pastor Doug here. When the area first locked down back in the spring, all construction business had to stop. And I expected that the construction going on at the Pittsford Y to prepare it for Edgewood to move in there, that would slow down. And our date, our expected closing date and when we would move would all be shifted by however long we were shut down, because they had planned it out, and it was all planned out to be done by the end of the year, but now they were shut down. And then I talked to Pastor Doug, and even though it should have been delayed, we prayed, and amazingly, that work still finished in time for Edgewood to move in early November. I think they moved, and we closed in late November, and then we moved in early December. Amazing. It was just like, oh yeah, there's this whole thing going on. Construction businesses are shut down, but that's okay. We're going to be right on schedule. Just amazing. So we've had this great project of buying this facility, to pray for that project, to work on it, and to give to it. So we haven't been depressed or despairing or bored through this quarantine as many other people have been. And since the election, I've been tempted to be, not those things, but distressed, angry, grieving, outraged. Anybody else feel some of those things? But what the Lord has been doing with our congregation in bringing us here has given me hope and joy and peace to go through what's happening around me. Anybody else feel that way? Yeah. So recently, I've been thinking about our boat as Noah's Ark. Right? It's an ark, keeping us going in the flood of the chaos that's going on around us. And as I mentioned, I think a while ago, keeping us from, do you ever think about when the ark was floating and all of this water was pouring on in the earth? It's floating around. The mountains are still sticking up above the water. And how did it happen that the ark didn't run into a mountain and you know, be shipwrecked? I mean, in the instruction of the ark, there was no guidance. There was no guidance mechanism. There was no rudder. There was no sail. It's just moved by the waters. That was the grace of God. He just guided that ark so it didn't hit any of the mountains. And then, of course, the water got, I think it's like 30 feet above the highest mountain peak, and then it wasn't anything to run into anymore. But that grace is what I believe God has done for us. We've just been plowing ahead. And now the Lord has guided our ark into a safe harbor. This is our safe harbor, right here. Safe harbor. Yes, you can applaud him. Absolutely. So while we're in the harbor, though, I believe he wants us, and I believe the correct term when you convert a boat from one use to another is to refit it. He wants us to refit the ark to turn it into a lifeboat. Okay? To rescue those who are in danger of destruction due to their own sin, but also those who are in despair, because many have had loved ones die, businesses closed, jobs disappear, and those who have been fighting to return biblical values to our land, who need a safe haven where there are like-minded people. And in refitting the ark, this is what we are called to do. We are called to go and reach those people who are in that danger. So in refitting the ark, we have several more projects to do here. We already started on acoustic panels for some of these walls to improve the sound in here. And we started, if you want to go take a look at it, the offices have the walls up and the drywall up, just haven't been painted yet. So we're moving ahead. We have other projects that we're planning on here. We're planning on getting rid of these stands here and mounting the speakers, new projection software, new planning software, new chairs, which I think everybody will look forward to, these 35-year-old chairs, furniture for the lobby. We want to get the security system online so we can check it from wherever we are, get security cameras outside, electronic locks, The parking lot needs repaving. The roof needs some repair, all those things. But at some point, we're going to get them all done. Everybody agree? I mean, it's going to take some work and it's going to take some finances, but we're going to get them all done. The other thing that turning the Ark into a lifeboat includes is retraining the crew. So it's like the crew going from, you know, like from a warship to a cruise ship, right? The crew needs retraining. We need to function together better as a team. We need to submit to one another in love. We need to hold each other accountable to behave in godly ways. But soon, we'll be able to turn our focus outward. We'll be able to send out that lifeboat and rescue those in need. So, that's what's coming. I believe that's the next leg, and it's probably the next leg for Edgewood, right, Pastor Doug? So, what will be our strategy for performing these rescues? Well, if I could have that first slide, Proverbs 29, verse 18 in the King James says, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need God's vision for new strategies for 2021. We need his strategic vision. That means vision about strategy, not vision about purpose, or we know the purpose, but vision about strategy. How do we accomplish the purpose? And then in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says this, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So we need to be agreed on what the Lord gives us as a strategic vision, so we'll work together to implement that strategy and achieve our purposes. Now, we already know our purposes, and you all should have been given a sheet of paper which has our purpose statement on it. On one side is a very large print, what I would call the short version or the concise version of the purpose statement. And I'm just going to read it to you. Congregation Shema Israel's purpose is to proclaim Messiah Yeshua, Jesus, to Jewish and non-Jewish people, connect them personally with the God of Israel through teaching, prayer, and worship, draw them into fellowship, lead them to become spiritually mature, equip them to serve, and inspire believers everywhere to reconnect with their Jewish roots. So that purpose statement that I just read is something that we originally started working on sometime like around 2007 or something like that. And we had a whole team of people that got together. I believe Randy was part of it. Judith was part of it. Anybody else was part of it way back then. And we spent, Raphael was part of it. We spent months. I think we spent like half a year crafting that statement. And then as we did it, we realized, and even as I read it, you notice there are several areas in it. There's we're going to reach people, we're going to disciple them, we're going to lead them to worship, we're going to have fellowship with them. And what the Holy Spirit gave us was the other side of the sheet, which is specific, in-depth statements about each area of our purpose. And that was the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, because that has guided us tremendously. And those purposes were, just to list them off, evangelism, discipleship, fellowship, worship, prayer, service, restoring Jewish roots, and establishing Jewish identity. So, as I was praying about what to do today, as we're having the last service of the year, I believe the Holy Spirit gave me a direction today, basically to pray for each purpose. Because all of these changes in the world that we're facing affect each of those purposes. And what the Spirit was saying was that we all as a congregation, everybody who's here, but also people who are part of the congregation who are watching online, we need to pray in agreement together for the Lord to give us new strategic vision, which we need to accomplish these purposes in the face of all the changes that have gone on all around us. Now also, I'm not the only one who's supposed to get strategic vision from the Lord. He may give that vision through you, an idea. Let's try this. Let's try that. And if he does give you ideas, strategies, please share them with me. I can't promise we'll pursue all your ideas, but I do promise that I and the elders will pray about them. And also, I am not the only one whom the Holy Spirit will direct to implement those strategies. Every one of you here and every one of you online has a role to play in fulfilling God's strategic vision for us. Your personal purpose statement is including, or should include, working to fulfill the congregation's purposes. So, just to remember, this congregation has had some great successes in the past. We bought and renovated that building on Winton Road when we were just a little group of about 40 people 35 years ago, or 32 years ago. We were the ones standing behind Jonathan Burness's outreach to the former Soviet Union, to Ethiopia, to Zimbabwe, to Argentina, to Mexico, and planting those congregations in the former Soviet Union, which David Levine, our second rabbi, did. We were standing behind that. We participated in the March for Jesus, the Day of Revolution, the Marches of Remembrance, Promise Keepers, Be in Health conferences. All of these were things that were successful. We had a lot of outreach to local churches. I've literally spoken in dozens of churches where the pastor has invited me to share about the Jewish roots. We've had college campus outreaches, which have been very successful. And we've had an outreach to the Russian Jewish immigrant community. We had at one point, I believe, 38 people that we were giving food to and sharing with. So all of that has been success in the past, and I'm believing we're going to have success in the future, fruitfulness. But what has changed as we go into 2021 that has caused me to realize that we need new strategies? Well, first of all, a positive change, we have a different physical location. We are now in the heart of the Jewish community. That inspires us to look more presentable. We now have a service coordinator to try to keep us so our service flows. We're seeking to decorate in a classy way. We're planning on lots of more things that we're going to be doing. Also, some of our neighbors in this neighborhood are prosperous families. Some of them are Jewish, and some in nearby apartment complexes are struggling, single-parent families that are struggling. So there's variety there. And our virtual location, our online location, has changed. For years, we made videos and audio recordings and posted them on our website and on Facebook, and then we broadcast them on public service TV. Didn't get much response. But the quarantine forced us to embrace live streaming. And now we have a much larger, even an international audience, watching our Shabbat service live online. And then afterwards also. The quarantine has also forced us to embrace Zoom for groups and classes. So we have a larger and more distant audience attending, like my Messianic Judaism class. And the same thing will happen because we're going to start up Freedom and Messiah and the Grace Course soon. And in addition to all of that, people have changed. People's attitude have changed. Many of the first generation of Russian immigrants who reached out to us, they're no longer with us. They've gone on to the next life. Our young people are different from what the young people were like years ago. They're being taught differently in the schools now, a whole different attitude, especially toward the Bible and toward God. Attitudes in the Jewish community have changed. The Jewish attitude towards followers of Yeshua has softened because the United States and especially evangelical Christians have been supporting Israel very strongly. Also because there's been increased intermarriage, and because of our culture has a strong emphasis on diversity, so people are more tolerant. And attitudes of everyone in the United States has changed. There's been a great falling away from biblical values. If you haven't seen that, your eyes haven't been opened at all. An increase in the acceptance of the homosexual agenda, a higher priority given to social justice. Half our population, I believe, are consistently being deceived by the mainstream media, and the other half are being frustrated by not being heard by the media. And if the election fraud is not overturned, I believe there's going to be much greater changes than we've seen so far, right? Big changes. So with all these changes in the world around us, we need new strategic vision, new strategies to fulfill our purpose. So what I felt led to do today is look at our eight purposes and see what has changed in our environment and pray together for new strategies. So while we're doing this, you, I hope, will be praying with us, agreeing with us, but also you might hear some things from the Lord. Jot them down about how we're supposed to function in different areas. So what we're going to do is different from other services. We're going to explain each purpose and then pray for strategies to fulfill it. And I'm not going to do all the praying, but the elders and some of our leaders are going to be leading us in the prayer. And what we're hoping is that you will pray along in agreement. So the first purpose is evangelism. And here's the scriptural basis for our purpose being evangelism. Mark 16, verse 15. This is Yeshua speaking. Then he said to them, "As you go throughout the world, proclaim the good news to all creation. Whoever trusts and is immersed will be saved. Whoever does not trust will be condemned." Verse 17, "And these signs will accompany those who do trust. In my name they will drive out demons, speak with new tongues." Verse 18, "Not be injured if they handle snakes or drink poison, and heal the sick by laying hands on them." This is called the Great Commission, and it is one of our primary marching orders. We are not to keep our lifeboat in the harbor. We're to go out among the people and share the good news. And as a Messianic Jewish congregation, we're also guided by another very important scripture, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the good news, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And when Paul speaks of Greeks here, he's talking about anybody who's not Jewish. So since we're one of only two Messianic Jewish congregations in the area, we take this statement as very high priority. We are called to share the good news with the Jewish people first, but also to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. In addition, we are motivated by what Yeshua said to the people of Jerusalem just before he went to the cross. In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 39, he said this, "For I tell you, from now on, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai,' in the name of the Lord." Now that phrase, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of Adonai," you've heard it, you've sung it, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. That phrase is how you greet an honored person in Hebrew. So we understand this to mean that Yeshua will not return until the Jewish people welcome him. So one of our motivations in Jewish evangelism is to hasten the Lord's return. So I'm going to ask Ava to come and read our purpose statement in evangelism.
Here is what our purpose statement says about our purpose in evangelism: to effectively and lovingly proclaim the fullness and the Jewishness of the biblical gospel of Messiah Yeshua, first to the Jewish people, but also to the nations, non-Jewish people, locally and worldwide, and to inspire and train Messiah's body to effectively proclaim the gospel to the Jewish people.
So, over the years, we have attempted many ineffective ways of proclaiming Messiah to the Jewish people and to others. And that experience has helped us develop what we believe are some effective and loving ways. But things have changed. The biggest change is, for the past 35 years, most Jewish people in Greater Rochester did not even know we existed or have any idea what kind of an organization we were. But now, our sign is out. Although it's a temporary one right now. And the sign says that we are a Messianic Jewish synagogue. And this sign will be seen by a significant number of Jewish people, because that street out there, Edgewood Avenue, goes right down to the JCC, the Jewish Community Center. And many people will be driving by that when things open up again and will become aware of not only who we are, but that we are a Messianic Jewish congregation. Some will know what that means. Others will become curious. Also, the fig tree, our bookstore, gift shop, Judaica shop, will be on the sign. Books, gifts, and Judaica. And visible to Jewish people who pass by. And unlike our old neighborhood in Irondequoit, our new neighborhood has many Jewish people living nearby. And there are many intermarried couples and what I call CHIPS. You know what CHIPS are? It's an acronym. It stands for Children of Intermarried Parents. There are many living in the neighborhood. And this is important because these are the most open Jewish people. So we have some ideas for new strategies already, but I'm not going to share them publicly because we don't want those who oppose us to know what those strategies are. So now I'm going to ask Ava to pray for new strategies.
So, Father God, we come before you in the name of Yeshua, and we thank you, Father God, that you who have begun a good work in us is bringing it to completion. For you are the God who has promised Israel, Father, that you love them, that you are going to bring them home. You are the God that promised them a Messiah. And so, Lord God, as we seek to do your will to reach out to the Jewish people, reach out to the hurting people of Rochester, reach out in love, Father God, I ask you that you would pour on this body the fire of the Holy Spirit. I ask you, Lord God, that your anointing would be so big, so deep, so hot, Father God, like we spoke in prayer today, that if you put that light under a bushel, the bushel would burn up. Father, set us ablaze with love for this community. Give ideas, give strategies, give wisdom, give vision. Father God, give courage, Father God. Form teams, Lord God, that will go out all through the week and the weekend, that will touch the community, Father God, and a light that burns so bright that they cannot come and help and see what we are doing, who we are. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Thank you, Ava. Woo! Got that vision of that bushel burning up because the light is so strong under it. That is also awesome. So our second purpose is in fellowship. And referring to the first Messianic Jews, Luke wrote in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, 46, continuing faithfully and with singleness of purpose to meet in temple courts daily and breaking bread in their several homes, they shared their food in joy and simplicity of heart. Fellowship is vitally important for every believer's growth and joy and ability to walk with the Lord through trials. So Jana is going to come and read the purpose statement that we have concerning fellowship.
Here is what our purpose statement says about our purpose in fellowship: to graft Jews and not Jews into Jewish roots of cultivated olive tree with the bond of love through godly fellowship in order to build us into congregation which demonstrate the one new man and Messiah with distinctly Messianic Jewish lifestyle and identity, connecting in fellowship with local body of Messiah and working towards the transformation of our community.
Okay, so what has changed around us that makes it difficult having fellowship? Well, pretty obviously, the quarantine. We've been unable to meet in homes. We've been unable to have refreshments after service. We've been unable to have dinners together. We're using Zoom and Messenger and teleconference, but I don't know about the rest of you. I really miss the personal contact, the hugs, the smiles, the breaking bread together. Well, the quarantine will end someday, and when it does, we're looking forward to being able to have Kiddush, which is a light refreshments after the service, right out there in the coffee shop, and celebrating the Moedim, the appointed times, the Jewish holidays with onegs, which are meals, regular meals, in our beautiful, much larger fellowship hall, and the return of home gatherings. I was just saying to Diane, I think it was last night, that we have two cats, and they seem to be sleeping a whole lot more now. And I said, you know, I think they miss us not having company coming over. Because whenever the company would come over, they would come out, and, you know, but now there's never any company coming over, so everybody is missing this. And someday it's going to come back. When it comes back, you know what's going to happen? We will appreciate the person-to-person contact so much more because we've been without it for all this time. But until that day, we need new strategies for how to maintain fellowship during this time. And the strategies we have right now, you should all be participating if you're not aware of them, but we have gatherings on teleconference for prayer. We have a couple of teachings through Zoom. Check our weekly email blast or call the office if you're not aware of these things, but there's lots of ways to get together electronically. It's not the same, but at least it's something. So Jana is now going to pray for new strategies to maintain fellowship during the quarantines and after it ends.
Lord, I just want to thank you, first of all, for the time when we had this fellowship, when we were able to gather together during the more dim times, your appointed times, when we had kiddushes together, and also when we were able to have all different groups and enjoy each other's company, Lord. I just want to thank you for the love that we have in this congregation, Lord, and unity that we all enjoy in each other's company, Lord, and growing in you. And I just want to pray at this time for the future, Lord. Only you know the future and the plans for us, Lord. So again, we're seeking your vision, your strategy, and your wisdom, how we're going to go in the future and how we're going to continue to fellowship together. And also, Lord, I want to pray for everybody who in the future will be drafted in into this congregation, for the Jewish and non-Jewish. I just pray for them to catch this vision that we have here of love and unity, and also to be in one with one another as you are one with your Father, Lord. I pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Jana. Thank you, Jana. So our third purpose is to make disciples. In Matthew 26 and verse 19, Yeshua said, "Therefore, go and make people from all nations into Talmudim." That's Hebrew for disciples, immersing them into the reality of the Father, the Son, and the Ruach HaKodesh. In verse 20, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I will be with you always, yes, even until the end of the age. So we're supposed to do more than just share the good news. We're commanded to make disciples. And the word disciple, it means more than educate. It means train. It means give opportunities to practice. It means correct. It means all of those things. So Judith is going to come and read our purpose statement about discipleship.
Here's what our purpose statement says about discipleship: to bring healing, deliverance, restoration, wholeness, the fruit of the Spirit, spiritual maturity, knowledge of our Jewish roots, of our faith, and of Messianic Jewish identity and lifestyle to the next generation and to God's people, to equip them for service in the congregation and the worldwide Messianic movement through daily Bible reading and study, Spirit-led biblical teaching, the exercise of the gifts of the Spirit, counseling, mentoring, and on-the-job training.
Amen. Amen. So, once again, our ability to make disciples has been greatly affected by the quarantine, because discipleship has always primarily happened in person, one-on-one. And during COVID, people have been unable to attend in-person classes or groups, so we've been having Zoom and Messenger classes and small groups. But the discipling can't be as effective that way unless the Lord does something. And Shabbat school has been shut down, but we are planning on reopening it next week. On January 2nd, Shabbat school will be reopening. So we've had lots of discipling classes. We hope to start up soon on Zoom and then in person. And when the quarantine ends, we need to figure out, and this is a technical challenge, because we have people coming into some of our classes who live a long way away now, how do we keep them included when the quarantine ends? So Judith is going to pray for strategies.
Lord, discipleship is such an important part of the body because it causes us to have places to grow, places to get to the next level of our walk in you. One of the things it says in here to read our Bibles every day and to be prayer, that is the discipling because we know the word. And I thank you, Lord, that you have built a congregation through the years here now of many teachers, many that are mature, that are not being fed only of milk but of meat because they know the word. And you have prepared great leadership in this house for the influx of people that we see coming down the road. There will be things in place, and we thank you for all these things in place. Father, that we are unique as a congregation. We're not like every church that is in the city. We are the Messianic congregation, and our mission and our vision is to train up people in the Jewish roots of their faith and in understanding the pictures in the biblical feasts and how they lead to you, Lord. I just pray, Father, for the strategies. I know, Lord, that with technology, with the Zoom meetings and things like that, we can expand our discipleship program to a greater audience. So I pray, Father, for that to be the ability that you will give us the strategies and the technology and the understanding to create. There is plans for a community school of learning which will be open to the community and reflect who we are, Father, that there will be many that will come to these classes. And most of all, Lord, the Shabbat school and the youth to train up our children in the way they should go. I can't wait to get back in the classroom with the children and just be with them and impart to them the truth of the word. Father, in all areas of discipleship, I pray, Father, for every ministry to be bolstered up, to be emboldened, to be equipped, Father, on every side so that we can meet the needs of the people of the house and those that are coming in the future. I pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Judith. Our fourth purpose is worship. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, Yeshua said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. So what did Yeshua mean by worshiping in truth? Well, in chapter 17 of the same book, in verse 17, he says this, set them apart for holiness by means of the truth. Your word is truth. So God's word, the scriptures, is truth. So worshiping God in truth means worshiping him according to how he has instructed us to worship in the Bible. There are many scriptures on how to worship in the Bible that can't be obeyed today because they involve the temple and the Levitical priesthood. But there are also many scriptures that instruct us how to worship that can be obeyed today. Worship with singing, with musical instruments, with dance. Worship him on the Moedim, the appointed times, in his appointed ways. So we worship God in truth when we worship him in these ways, with singing and dancing and on his appointed times. For example, keeping Pesach, Passover, with the Seder, sounding shofars on Rosh Hashanah, fasting on Yom Kippur, building a sukkah on Sukkot, making special offerings on the three pilgrimage feasts. So this is what we find as a foundation for worship, and Ethel's going to read our purpose statement on worship.
All right, our purpose statement says this about worship: to connect with the God of Israel through Messiah Yeshua, to glorify him and minister to him through biblical forms of worship in spirit and truth, being led by the Ruach, the Spirit, by keeping his biblically appointed ways at his biblically appointed times in the context of our messianic Jewish identity.
So what's the effect of what's happening around us on worship? Well, on the positive side, very positive, we have a new sanctuary. So that's great. And we are leading people in worship online all around the world. That's also very positive. And we have some new strategies for the sanctuary. We're going to improve the acoustics with some panels and buying new chairs and speakers. And we're hoping that our youth worship group will get going again at some point in time. We have new strategies for the virtual world, live stream audio mix, and at some point a second camera to have a two-camera view. And we're going to continue to observe the Mo'adim, the appointed times. We're looking forward to being able to do that in our beautiful, much larger fellowship hall. But there's something special that happens, very special, when we worship together in the Spirit in one place. And we really haven't been able to do that because of COVID. We haven't been able to dance. We haven't been able to have any guests here who are worship artists like we used to have at least three times a year. We haven't been able to do that. All that's been missing. So we need new strategies to worship in the midst of COVID with the Spirit. So Ethel, want to pray for that? You did a good job of that today, by the way.
Thank you. Praise God. Father God, in the name of Yeshua, I want to praise you and thank you that we are free to worship you in this house, in this city. Hallelujah. Father God, it is time for a new thing. Your word says, behold, the old things are gone, and you will do a new thing. And so, Father God, quarantine will soon be over. Those that are dormant will come alive and reawaken. Singers, musicians, poets, dancers, people that have just been thinking about it, people that have been dreaming about it, wake up. Wake up, because now is the time. The worshipers would go before the army in battle. They were the front lines. And so this is a house of joy. This is a house of worship. We want to do battle. And so I thank you, Lord, that there will be new singers, new musicians, new songs, and we'll all be for your glory. I thank you that you will organize all of it. You will choreograph all of it. We give you all the praise and all the glory, but we say, rise up. Come out of quarantine. Come out of your sleep. Wake up. Worship the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul in this house. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are doing a new thing in this building. I praise you and I thank you. And I ask for wisdom as I lead the worship team. I ask you for other leaders to come up beside me and hold my arms up, just as they held up the arms of Moses. And I know that all will be done for your glory. And we are excited. We are excited that this will be known as a house of worship. Hallelujah, in the name of Yeshua. And all God's people said,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Ethel. Thank you, Ethel. Our fifth purpose is in prayer and spiritual warfare. In Ephesians 6, verse 12 says, for we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Well, I have to say, this is one area that the past year we have become increased rather than decreased. We have become much more intense in our spiritual warfare and our prayer through the ways in which we have put things together. So Mark is going to come and read the purpose statement on prayer and spiritual warfare.
Amen. What our purpose statement says on prayer and spiritual warfare: to be led by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, in spiritual warfare against the powers of darkness and in effective prayer. For each other, our community, the lost, and the Jewish people in Israel and worldwide, to take a stand for biblical righteousness on moral issues and against apostate, ungodly government, and to defend and support the oppressed, persecuted, and voiceless.
So we've gotten better at prayer during the quarantine. That's an increase in participation has been dramatic during the quarantine through the things that Mark has put into place and Judith and Ava working together. We're praying together by teleconference or in person like 6 mornings a week and 3 evenings a week. And these times have been anointed and powerful and spirit-led. So Mark is going to pray for new strategies during the quarantine, but then also after the quarantine that we would continue in this increase of the anointing and a desire and fruitfulness of prayer.
Amen. We've implemented some of these strategies about a month and a half now, and the Holy Spirit led us to start with divine healings. Nothing drew a crowd to Yeshua more than healing, all right? And so, but there are spiritual steps required to understand, and there are divine equipping that must happen. So we're teaching the principles of divine healing. So Father, we thank you for the strategy of prayer. We thank you that you're the king of the poor. You are the king of those poor in spirit and those who are naturally poor. We pray that you redeem their souls. We pray, Father, that there are many events that are going to happen prior to your return, and we understand that because scripture stands on its own. But we're asking now, Father, and I speak an anointing for those to have an ear to hear and feet to work and hands to work, and that their voice will only be a voice that speaks of what you've given us, and that they will hear from you and you only, that this anointing to listen to the Ruach and the Ruach alone is what they will need. I pray, Lord, that as the Ruach pleads on our behalf, that the anointing for prayer will increase, the prayer that comes through the Spirit of the gift of tongues. And I pray anointing for spiritual giftings over this congregation and over the people who are with us online as well. And lastly, Lord, I pray the whole armor of God on myself, on the leadership, the prayer team, and those who are part of this congregation near and far. We stand for protection. We stand for your love. We stand for the authority you give us in that armor. We pray, Lord, that for this to happen, this whole armor of God, we need to understand that this is spiritual warfare. But Lord, we're going to take up the offensive weapon of the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, and we will walk in the shoes of the gospel of peace. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Yes, you can give some applause. That was pretty weak. How about some more applause? Come on, guys. Our sixth purpose is to serve. In Matthew chapter 20, and verse 26, Yeshua said, "It shall not be this way among you, but whoever wants to be great among you shall be your servant." So we should all be seeking to be great in God's eyes. And Yeshua told us that in his eyes, the greatest would be the greatest servant. So Don is going to read us the purpose statement about serving.
Here's what our purpose statement says about service: to obey Yeshua's commands, to love and serve one another, to demonstrating the love of God and bringing glory to him by serving one another, our local community, the body of Messiah, and the Jewish community in Israel and worldwide.
So this is an interesting one because there's a great need now for people to serve because so many people are in trouble and having issues, but there's also a great barrier to serve, which is the quarantines in this and the people not wanting to be exposed. So there's a great need for a strategy to how to serve more and more effectively in the midst of this. And then right here in what we're doing, there's great need for people to serve in this new facility because we have a lot of need for help with technology, with worship, with the renovations. But again, people are not able to come because of the restrictions. So Don's going to pray for new strategies.
Yes, Lord, we thank you, Father, for your love for us, this great love that you've given us, Lord. So we pray, Father, that you give us new strategies, new ways of doing things, ways that only would come from you, Lord. Help us to hear your small voice and to obey. We thank you, Father, for what you've done for us, and help us to be your servants, Lord. And as we go to our prayer closets throughout the next week, help us, Father, give us words, an understanding, and how we can come up with new strategies. And give us a desire to want to serve you, Lord, as you served us. You washed the feet of your disciples, Lord. You served them, Lord. Help us to serve others as your example to us. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Don. So the six purposes I've talked about so far, really, they could be applicable to almost any Bible-believing church, that they're just there. But now these last two are unique to the Messianic movement, to a Messianic congregation. So our seventh purpose is to restore the body to its Jewish roots. And the scriptural basis for that is Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, where Yeshua said, "Don't think I have come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to complete." So Hector is going to come and read our purpose statement on the...
Here's what our purpose statement says about restoring the body to its Jewish roots. To be a bridge between the two covenantal people groups, ethnic Israel and the body of Messiah, inspiring the non-Jewish part of Messiah's body to reconnect with its Jewish roots through biblical teaching, demonstrating Jewish traditions and their continuing relevance, while working towards reconciliation between Messiah's body and traditional Judaism.
Back there. So, over the past 25 years that I've been the rabbi here, I have often been invited to speak about the Jewish roots in local churches. But churches are experiencing reduced attendance, doing live streaming, not inviting guest speakers, so none of that has gone on. In addition, I was blessed to be able to be part of pastors' fellowships in the past that got together for a meal and to pray together periodically, and out of those relationships that form there, I would be invited to speak, and sometimes I'd bring a worship team, sometimes I'd bring dancers. All of those things were part of fulfilling this purpose, and ain't none of them happening these days. So, Hector, I want to pray that we would have new strategies.
Amen. Father God, we just come before your name in Yeshua's name. No, we just thank you, Father, for what you're doing in Shema. We thank you, Father God, that this our home being here was something that was not by accident. It's something that you had planned from years before. And we thank you for Pastor Doug and the church that has been preparing this ground for us, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that for the Gentiles that have come to Messiah, to Yeshua, Lord. I'm being one of them there, Father God. I thank you that you have awakened within me a desire, Lord, Father God, of my biblical Jewish roots, dear Lord. You have dealt with me personally, God, and I thank you, Lord, that you're awakening many, many of the Christians, those that believe in Jesus, Lord, Yeshua, are also finding themselves, Lord God, turning to their Jewish roots, their biblical Jewish roots, dear Father God. I thank you, God, that you have given Shema that desire and that heart. That is your desire, Father God, the one new man, which says Ephesians chapter 2:15, dear Father God, that the Jews and the Gentiles will worship the true and living God, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, dear Father God. So I pray, Father God, that you give us new strategies, O Lord, that to the rabbi and to Shema, Father God, as we continue, Father God, to be able to share the good news and to share, Lord, the Jewish roots of our faith, dear Father God. We know what COVID-19 has done, Father God, but we know, Father God, that with you nothing is impossible, dear Father God. So give us new strategies as we move forward, Father God, so that we can be able to, Father God, mend together, see the two groups, the Jews and Gentiles, be as one, Father God. That is your heart desire, Lord. We thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hector. All right, yes, give him a hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Our final purpose is in living a Jewish lifestyle. Romans chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "Then what advantage has the Jew? what is the value of being circumcised? And he answers his own question in verse 2 with much in every way. So Elizabeth's going to come and share our purpose statement concerning living a Jewish lifestyle, having a Jewish identity.
Okay, here's what our purpose statement says about living a Jewish lifestyle. We are to show respect for Jewish culture, traditions, and history by celebrating Jewish holidays, both biblical and traditional, including traditional Jewish liturgy in our worship, keeping biblically kosher, preparing the next generation to continue to live as Messianic Jews by learning Hebrew and celebrating their B'nai Mitzvot, by preparing people for Aliyah, and for embracing the continuing relevance of the Jewish language, culture, and homeland as a witness to the Jewish community.
Elizabeth, I don't think the slide changed, so you just got to hear that but not see it. They're working on it back there. But what has changed in this area? Well, during the COVID, we've had no congregational celebrations of the biblical holidays. We have not had any B'nai Mitzvot, bar mitzvahs, no baby dedications, no weddings. I think we've had too many funerals. And no one is traveling to Israel because the country is closed. So all of these things that are part of being Jewish identity and lifestyle have not been happening once again. So Elizabeth, would you pray about that? For new vision, new strategies.
Father, we want to thank you that you have called us to be a set-apart people for you, and that one of the ways that you have done this is that you have given us commandments in regard to our lifestyle and how we are to do this, both those of us who are ethnically Jewish and those of us who have been called to throw in our lot with the Jewish people. And so I ask, Father, that you would touch every single person here, that you would speak to their heart, and you would show them how you want them to implement your commandments in their life, that you would show them which parts they are to do, what they are to follow, and how they're to go about it. And we thank you for their courage, for their willingness to stand up and to come into conflict with family members, with friends over these things, but that you are standing with them and they are standing strong. And we thank you for those who are called to be part of this Messianic movement, that they are called to be standing up for you in a way that is not common in our community these days. And so we ask that you would just give us the ways to do this in our lives, give us the ways to speak to those of people who are in our lives who don't know about it, our coworkers, our friends, our family, and we would be able to know what to say when they ask us why we keep kosher, why we celebrate the holidays, that we would have a ready answer as you have commanded us. And so we ask that you would just give us the strength and courage and the wisdom to do all of these things and the ways to implement them all here at Congregation Shema Israel. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. So we're just going to wrap up in prayer here. Thank you all for agreeing together with us as we pray for these things. That was very clear from the Holy Spirit to me that we all as a congregation needed to be in agreement. So thank you for praying along. And for those of you who are online, thank you for praying along. Even if you're not local, there might have been prayer people from India or Africa praying along with us today. We thank you for that. So Father, we thank you for guiding us through the turbulent waters of this past year. And thank you that we understand that it's your intention to refit this ark, to turn it into a lifeboat. And we thank you, Father, that you've been giving us, you gave us this purpose statement years ago, but it is still very, very relevant, and that you are going to move in each of those eight areas. And we believe, Lord, that as we've prayed here today, you're going to give us new, effective strategies to build your kingdom in this changed world that we now live in. And we agree for your revelation to come, for your direction to come. May it come to us from your word, in our thoughts, in dreams, in prophetic words, from people's experience. We believe, Lord, that you are capable. You are more than capable of communicating your will to us and your direction to us. We pray that you just would open up our ears so that we could hear, open up our eyes to see, open up our hearts to receive and open up our will to do your will, Father. Set our will in line with your will. And we thank you, Lord, that this is not something we have to make up and figure out on our own. That's not how it's been all of these years. It's been submitting to you and saying, Lord, show us, and somehow it comes. You reveal it. And then when it is from you, it works, and it bears fruit. So we agree together right now, Father, for this coming months, this coming years. We pray for this COVID to come to an end so we can implement things that are more normal. But even in the midst of it, Lord, we pray that we would be able to implement effective strategies to bear fruit for your kingdom. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you for every person who's participated. I pray that you would just give them your blessing in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.